7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and as always, we are Pony Cake Sports. I'm here with Tom and Tim. You guys can follow us on Twitter, at Pony Cake Sports, at Pony Cake Tom, at Pony Cake Tim. Hit us up on our email, ponycakesports@gmail.com, and our website, ponycakesports.com. And as always, check out our buddies at CleatGeeks.com, and hit them up on Twitter, at CleatGeeks. Also, go to the website DraftingSleepers.com. We are on there talking about some of the guys that we're going to be talking about later on in the show, and some of the sleeper possibilities that they have, and what rookies are looking good, what rookies are looking not so great. We're on there. We're talking to people. So do yourselves a favor. Check that website out and talk to us. So we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit about some of the preseason games, and why don't we have Tom? Tom, why don't you kick us off?
Should we talk about the Dolphins-Ravens? A little bit of Jay Cutty. We kind of covered him earlier. But Parker, one reception, 16 yards, had a bunch of targets. But I think the Buck Allen news is kind of big in my eyes. There's a lot of talk right now with him. Terrence West is kind of being slept on. But there's a chance that running back situation continues to remain ugly. I think the only for sure thing for me right now is Danny Woodhead. He's probably the only running back that I am targeting for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I think a lot of people had it pegged as Terrence West as being the number one guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that was understandably so. And now we got Buck Allen coming out of nowhere, 10 carries, 40 yards. And I was watching that backup quarterback that they have at Woodrum. You guys watch any of that game or no?
A little bit.
He actually looked all right. Like, I know he's not going to do anything in the season, but he looked actually pretty okay. I know it's going to be the Joe Flacco show and then Brian Mallett, and God forbid if Joe Flacco gets injured or anything like that, but Woodrum was actually pretty entertaining to watch. So
I took out of it is Jay Cutler is still Jay Cutler. Like you already mentioned, Buck Allen, who this is going back 2 years now, Buck Allen was poised to take over the Ravens running back role, actually won me a game when I was one of the worst teams in my fantasy league, and he's shown to be a factor, so excited for Buck Allen.
Yeah, Terrence West, a stat line of 6 rushes for negative 2 yards is mighty, mighty ugly, so not good. But I think the one thing that we can take away from this with Jay Cutler is the fact that we're going to see a lot of Devontae Parker and Jay Cutler.
Oh, yeah.
So if you guys are in fantasy, I think PPR-wise, I think Devontae Parker is being slept on a little bit. He's getting drafted pretty late. I think he should be moved up the pecking order a little bit with Jay Cutler as the starting quarterback now.
Yeah, but the question is, how long will Jay Cutler be the starting quarterback? You alluded to it in your predictions.
Correct.
Jay Cutler's still Jay Cutler. We'll see.
We're going to move on to the Buffalo Bills and the Philadelphia Eagles real quick. Nathan Peterman, again, a pretty decent stat line, 167 yards. He only completed half of his passes. But I think what we can take away from here is Tyrod Taylor looked mighty ugly, 8 for 18, 53 yards, and 2 interceptions. The one interception was a tipped pass, and I believe the defensive lineman caught the ball, ran it back for a couple yards. But that offense does not look good at all, and I actually thought Nathan Peterman actually looked pretty good. So
it was an ugly all-around effort. The only thing I'm kind of happy about is Zay Jones. Hey, look, we touted his route-running ability in college. That translates to the NFL, and it's showing right now. He's able to get open. And I also like to see Jonathan Williams, the young running back from Arkansas, second year in the NFL, looking all right. He had 7 rushes this week for 29 yards, 4.1 yards per carry. He's the handcuff for Shady McCoy my eyes. And if you're drafting, investing that first round or second round pick on LeSean McCoy, get Williams with the late round pick to protect yourself. He has routinely missed games the last few seasons, and it's probably going to happen again. He's coming close to that 2,000 rushing attempts in his career, which is normally a big-time disaster for running backs when they hit that that mark.
I want to flip to the other side of the football, the Philadelphia Eagles. The only thing worse than Tyrod Taylor in this game was LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah.
5 rushing attempts, 8 yards. Just, it seems like if he's not on the New England Patriots, he's garbage. It scares me. I don't feel like it should totally eliminate him from your draft list, but he should not be your 1 or your 2 by any means. Is what this, you know, week 2 by this point, he should be showing you something. 8 yards on 5 attempts is not enough. On the other side of it, I want to talk about the Eagles receiving core. Nelson Aguilar, Alshon Jeffrey, both having, you know, over 20 yards receiving on 2 receptions. It's not blowing me out and, you know, out of the water. It's not making me, you know, extremely excited, but it's something where I'm like, you know what? If I have to take a flyer or a 4th wide receiver, I'm looking at these guys. I know some people are looking at Jeffrey as a number one, I shouldn't say number one, but a number 2 wide receiver. I would kind of bite my tongue on that a little bit, but we'll see.
Let me ask you guys this, because it is kind of big news. There was talk after this game that, and during this week, you know, last couple days, that LeGarrette Blount may or may not make the roster. And another report saying that Wendell Smallwood will end up being the starting running back. Me personally, I think Wendell Smallwood is not very good. I don't think he's going to end up being the starter. I think it was more talk and worry, I guess, because of the lackluster performance. And is there any possibility that we see Blount get cut here?
I don't think he's going to get cut. You saw what Peterson came out and said, that he's going to be a vital and important role player for this offense. And I think that's going to be the case. Not a big-time believer in Smallwood, just like you, Josh. And Sproles, he's an okay, like, scat back, but I just don't think they have any other option there to be that goal line running back. It's definitely going to be a down year for him compared to what he's been producing for the New England Patriots, but people that are expecting 10-plus touchdowns for him might be a little crazy in my eyes.
So I initially poo-pooed it, and I was like, and I saw the thing, who's their coach, Doug Peterson?
Yep.
Yeah, Doug Peterson came out, and he said, you know, he's excited to see him, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, he's not the end decision maker, and LeGarrette Blount's only being paid, you know, his yearly cash was just over $1 million. He's not a huge. He's, you know, a dead cap of $400,000. He's just over $1 million of a cap hit. If he's not producing, if they don't think he's going to be of value, I would not be shocked, him being 30 years old, to see him just say, hey, you know what? Let's cut our losses while I can. If he's not going to add value to Carson Wentz, then he shouldn't be on the team. End of story.
Yeah, but you don't really have a running back that can run the ball between the tackles. You have a Wendell Smallwood. You have, who is a smaller running back. You have a Darren Sproles. You have a Donald Pumphrey. Those are all smaller running backs. Now, there is a Chris Clement who has been doing very well in the preseason, but is he going to be that guy? I don't think so. There was talk about how he wasn't even going to make the team in preseason, but I mean, he has been producing in preseason, so maybe, I don't know.
True, but what we've seen here so far in preseason is that LeGarrette Blount can't be that workhorse that the Eagles are going to need. So if he's not going to be that workhorse, why take touches away from a guy like Donald Pumphrey, who potentially can, you know, evolve into something? At 30 years old, you don't get that opportunity anymore, champ. Sorry.
Let's move on to the Tampa Bay and Jacksonville Jaguar game. Final score was 12-8. And
what?
Yeah, it was an ugly game.
What did you say, sir?
Yeah, because they are missing goddamn extra points.
I feel like I watched the whole first half of this game, and I feel like the Bucs were up like 35-0.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like.
They were dominating in this game. Jameis Winston looked very good. Beside that one bonehead play that was very close to being an interception, yeah, inside the red zone. But he looked accurate, 21 of 29, almost 200 yards passing. Him and Mike Evans are on the same page. We saw O.J. Howard get involved in the passing game. He had 2 very good receptions with run after the catch. Doug Martin looked all right, a couple carries with him. But I really enjoyed watching this Buccaneers offense. It's going to be an exciting year for them. And that defense as well. They made Jacksonville's life very difficult, that first team unit. And Blake Bortles, good Lord, disgusting.
So yeah. What I will say is this is the definition of what I said the Jacksonville Jaguars will be, and they didn't even have their starting running back. It did. I agree with you. I watched actually the second half. I was the idiot who turned in after halftime and watched the terrible part of the game. But I went back and watched the tape on the first half. And what I got out of that was the Buccaneers should have been up by probably 3 touchdowns. But they weren't because of the Jaguars' defense. That should say a lot. Because the Buccaneers have a lot of talent on that side of the ball. And they weren't for a reason. The Jaguars were able to still have their defense, be their defense. You implement Leonard Fournette, and I'm not saying it's going to be any difference. The fact that it's a 12-8 game, I feel sorry for any fan that in Jacksonville that paid money to go to that game. 12-8 is like...
It was actually a pretty entertaining game. I watched the whole thing. Well, I thought, to
be
honest...
We did because we're weird people.
I thought, man, I thought Brandon Allen looked... pretty
he
phenomenal.
Did. He
looked
fantastic.
And he can run the ball. I don't know. That quarterback situation sucks. And honestly, you know what they should do at the beginning of the week? They should just take a dartboard, split it up 3 ways, put a picture of each person up there, throw a dart. Whoever it hits, that should be the starter for the week.
What I think is going to happen, in my humble opinion, I think Blake Bortles is going to get another run at it this year. They're going to have him and say, hey, you know what, son? You got a fantastic defense behind you. You got a Pro Bowl caliber running back. Rookie running back behind you. This is your last chance. If we tank, that's fine. We're going to take one of the best quarterbacks in this draft, and we're going to move on.
I think Doug Martin looked very, very good as well.
Oh, yeah.
5 rushes, 30 yards, and a touchdown. Looked really quick. And I think the whole talk of him possibly not being the starter when he comes back, I think just – I don't want to say just that game is going to be the reason why he will be the starter, but that kind of cements it for me. I think that he's going to be the starter from when he comes back.
I want to do a little bit here on field goals because I know Josh and I were talking about this beforehand, so I don't have the exact stat in front of me, so forgive me. The Buccaneers are 0-2 on extra points in this preseason.
Yeah, pretty Aguayo awesome.
Aguayo missed one. Obviously, he's no longer on the team. And Folk had one blocked in this one. The rest of the league, I believe the exact stat is 112 for 114 in the preseason. Josh, this is your team. How worried are you? Because I know, and you know what? You should be thanking me. Because if this were the Bears doing this, you would be on here just torching me. And every other question would be about the Bears kicking game.
Well, actually, Aguayo is on the Bears. And in the preseason game, he actually missed one as well.
That's
so.
Fine, but that's just
But Folk, he did miss a field goal as well in this game, which is not
blocked,
very good.
Blocked.
No. The extra point was blocked. But
he
missed a field goal. Yeah. I believe it was wide right or whatever. But, yeah, Cutter's not happy. So he better start making some kicks. Otherwise, they're just going to bring in like 7 kickers and figure it out. Somebody's going to make kicks for this team. So that's the way it's got to be.
For
that
sure.
Offense is so high power, you got to have somebody that can convert points.
It's amazing like how normal fans just think kicking's just automatic. And this is showing that it's not, that it's difficult, that it takes some skill.
It literally made me sick to my stomach because I waited. I watched the Bears preseason game. I'm not even exaggerating you. Long enough to see Trubisky play, and I wanted to see Aguayo kick. And watching his field goal attempt, did you guys see it?
No.
Yeah, it's ugly.
Oh,
I just...
Dude, seriously, it is like... It's like you or I. It was bad. Like, he missed it, like, not even close. Right, Josh?
I bet you I could probably make a field goal probably quicker than
you
could.
Actually, Josh does have a good leg. But it was like it was a knuckleball immediately. You could tell
ugly.
Off that it was dirty.
Well, it was to the left, right?
Yeah.
Or to
the right.
To the right.
Yeah, it was to the right. Just dirty. I feel bad for the kid. He's got the yips. The kid's got the yips. I feel bad for him.
It's a shame.
I really do.
It's a shame because he's one of the greatest collegiate place kickers you'll ever see. And now he comes into the NFL and just cannot convert.
I want Tom's quick opinion here. Quick opinion, because I know we're short on time. I said that the Buccaneers drafting him in the second round is one of the worst picks of all time. They cut him into his second year after he missed numerous kicks. Josh said that it wasn't that bad of a pick, even though it was bad. He just said it wasn't one of the worst picks of all time. He brought in Ryan Leaf, whatever. I argued, well, the position, blah, 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 blah. Right. You did. I'm not arguing that. What is your thought on just the pick overall?
And then he also said that kickers normally don't get drafted high.
They normally don't.
Which they normally don't, but there have been kickers that have been drafted.
I didn't say there haven't been.
Sebastian Janikowski,
right.
Jason Hansen.
He was good, and he was good.
Yeah, and there's a couple other ones that have been drafted high. So that's where my mentality is of maybe they were going that route, hoping for the best.
If you're reaching on a kicker, you better be positive, 100% positive. That's what makes this so bad.
But there was, in reality, there was no missing on him because he's one of the best collegiate kickers.
But no, not in reality, because they did. If you cut a kicker,
I hate you.
If you cut a kicker in his second year, not even his full second year, in the preseason of his second year after drafting him in the second round, that is embarrassing. Because it's a fucking embarrassment. You should be ashamed. It's not going to stop me from making brash decisions. It should, you fucking retard. It absolutely should.
They traded up to get him as well.
Yeah, they did.
I know. So it makes it probably like top 15, one of the worst
top
picks.
Top 5.
I don't know if it's top 5.
Ryan Leaf, Roberto Aguayo. Boom. You know what? Fuck you, Josh. You mock my team nonstop, if the Bears would have traded up in the second round and taken a kicker, and then the next year in the preseason cut him, my mother's listening, so I'm gonna bite my tongue.
It
would be a brutal onslaught. This is embarrassing. You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be forced to get a Aguayo tattooed across your back in shame for your GM.
Well, in folk we trust. So we are going to move on to the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals. Patrick Mahomes was 10 for 14, 88 yards, 2 touchdowns. Alex Smith, 8 for 9, 83 yards and a touchdown. On the opposite side, quarterbacks-wise, A.J. McCarron, I thought he was going to have a little bit better of a game. That interception kind of did it in for me. I was really hoping he was going to cement himself as the premier backup quarterback that teams were going to want late in seasons. But yeah, it is what it is. And I was really hoping Joe Mixon was going to do something else, but he only had 6 carries, 16 yards, but he still is going to be a big part of that offense.
My biggest takeaway from this game, we heard pre-preseason, that teams were offering the Bengals a second-round pick for A.J. McCarron. Are you shocked? Because I don't understand what the Bengals are doing. Not that I think that I'm not an Andy Dalton fan by any means, but it's your backup quarterback. Like, why wouldn't you, in my eyes, for a second-round pick, you trade that, and then now you have two, and then you draft another backup quarterback. Are you guys as shocked as I am? I don't get why. The value can only go down to this point.
They're just trying to be greedy. They're hoping another Bridgewater incident happens where a team's super desperate and willing to give up a first-round pick. That's all that happened in my eyes. But we've seen that you should have a backup quarterback just in case. And they need to make the playoffs if they want to keep Marvin Lewis's job. They need to start winning football games. Andy Dalton has been hurt lately, so I get why they kept McCarron, but they're going to lose him eventually.
I wonder if the Miami Dolphins went to calling the Cincinnati Bengals on McCarron. I didn't hear anything about it.
No.
But I wonder if that was a possibility.
I can't see it.
I would see like the lesser teams. Teams like the Jets. Teams like the 49ers. Were they calling it?
Jags.
The Jags, yes. Oh, yeah. Thank God. You. Jesus. If a team is offering a second-round pick, we've seen star wide receivers. Brandon Marshall in his prime go for a fourth. You don't want to give a quarterback?
Because he's crazy.
Well, but not even that. It's just that's what the going rate is for a player of that caliber. A.J. McCarron, a second-round pick, done. Sign me up.
Let's move on to the Minnesota Vikings and the Seattle Seahawks. Biggest takeaways I have from this game, Dalvin Cook, 7 rushes, 40 yards, a long of 15. He looked explosive. He looked very, very quick, and he can move side to side. He looks really good, and he can catch the ball in the backfield. Was targeted 3 times.
Dalvin Cook, this goes back to, you know, obviously his value or his draft value in your guys' eyes has lowered a little bit in terms of where you see him on the pecking order. I just, every time I see him, I go back to thinking about pre-draft and Tom showing me videos of, was Vach Miller?
Vach Lombardi.
Vach Lombardi, show, the breakdowns of him and me being like, oh, well, maybe this kid actually, he's explosive. He's going to be the real deal. I feel like that layabouts Murray is just going to be a moot point. He's going to be the real deal in Minnesota. I don't like the fact that he's going to have to play the Bears twice a year. I like him quite a bit. Everything, him doing what he did to that Seattle defense, I don't care if it's preseason, I was very, very impressed.
Yeah, Cook should be going up everyone's draft boards, and you should be happy. Three targets in a limited time. They're going to be targeting him tons. I liked what I saw out of Bucky Hodges, 54 yards receiving, two receptions, and the Seattle running back backfield. I don't know what to do right now with that group. If I had to pick one guy, it'd be Procise, but he hasn't even been on the field. Rawls can't stay healthy, and Lacy looks,
Alex Collins is catching the ball. Yeah. He's running the ball. Late draft pick. I don't know. They have like eight running backs, and who knows anymore.
Do we all want to – we got about 12 minutes left here. Do we all want to pick a game? Obviously, we have a bunch of Saturday games here. Do you want to just do rapid fire? Do we all pick a game? What do you want to do?
What are you talking about coming up?
Yeah, just about all the Saturday games, and then even a couple of Sundays, and there was a Monday, too. We're not going to have enough time to go through all of them.
Well, let's touch on this Panthers and the Titans game real quick. Just because we were talking about rookie running back and Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, three rushes, 33 yards and a touchdown, and then receiving-wise, two for 39 and three targets. I thought that was pretty impressive. His rush that he had for the touchdown was a rush of 17 yards, and that was pretty impressive. It was a nice cut, and then he beat the defender to the end zone. So
he looks like the real deal.
He's proving that he can run through the tackles, which was what his biggest downer in the draft process. So I said it from the beginning. I bit my tongue. I continue to do so.
Derrick Henry on the other side of the ball had two touchdowns. Do we see him taking more and more away from Murray?
I said 8 weeks ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, that with DeMarco Murray's contract and what his age, that they are going to see what they have in Derrick Henry. And he very well may be a special back. We mocked a guy in our league that traded the house for Derrick Henry. It might pan out to be a good decision. He still gave up too much regardless, but it may pan out to be a good decision. I truly think that Derrick Henry is going to be the guy sooner rather than later in Tennessee.
I want to move on to the Colts and the Cowboys because they're two teams Tom does like. And Marlon Mack, five rushes for 45 yards. He looked pretty impressive. Long rush of 23 yards. Tom, what are your thoughts on him for your Colts?
Mack was probably one of the only bright spots for the Colts in this game. He showed a great burst, great vision. He showed that he could pass block. I loved everything I saw out of Marlon Mack. Definitely should be going up everyone's draft boards. And McFadden looked all right against Colts' new defense. They kind of played like last year's defense, but overall pretty explosive day for the Cowboys overall.
I just want to give a bravo, something that some people are talking about. It does not have anything to do with fantasy, really, but Jalen Smith made his Cowboys debut in this preseason game. Looked good, looked fresh, had a couple of looked quick, side-to-side movement. His lateral movement was great. So props to Jalen Smith. Very happy to see him in the game.
Luckily, we can break some news on here. According to the four-letter network, looks like OBJ may be questionable for the opener versus the Cowboys. Could be sidelined, according to the four-letter network. So just FYI. Cooper Rush on the Cowboys. I thought this kid is looking better and better each game. Is he going to be the number two, or is it just going to be Kellen Moore and then go from there?
Should be Cooper Rush.
Yeah. Cooper Rush looks good. I like him. I like kind of reminds me of Dak Prescott in the preseason last year. It's pretty crazy to think that these Cowboys can keep churning out these quarterbacks like that. So, the Jets and the Lions, want to talk anything about that? Or
I wanted to see, what's his name? Kenny G blow up again. Didn't really do much.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a disappointment, I thought. I really thought Kenny G would have done something. But yeah, one catch for X amount of yards.
Yeah,
nothing
wasn't much.
Poo.
Green Bay Packers versus the Washington Redskins. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Our boy P. Ryan stepping up a little bit. Had a much better game than he did week one of the preseason. I feel like he is still the first guy out It's still a Fat Rob and Chris Thompson show, but I did like the improvement that I saw there.
Wanted to see more out of Jamal Williams.
Agreed.
Seven rushes, 12 yards, was given a chance to be that the lead back, the number one guy, and really didn't show too much. But he's still a capable pass-blocking running back. He can catch the football as well. Hopefully he picks it up next week.
Patriots versus the Texans. We have Tom Brady playing in the preseason game. Did not get hurt, thankfully. yeah, I know you were hoping for that, Tom, you jerk. But look at those running backs. Seven rushes, eight rushes, six rushes, seven rushes. I feel like that could be pretty much exactly how that is going to be in the regular season. And I would be afraid to own any Patriots running back.
It's definitely going to be ugly. I want to point out, though, everyone that was saying Deshaun Watson should be starting 3 of 10. He had 102 yards, but he got lucky that Deontay Foreman had a 63-yard reception. Otherwise, numbers would have been absolutely horrendous. But we saw what the Patriots can do to young quarterbacks. That's going to happen a lot to these
young
guys. But
Tom, all he does is win. He just wins all the time. He shouldn't be starting for his team. Nope. He's behind Tom Savage, already declared done and over with.
Let's move on to the Bears and the Cardinals. We have Mitchell Trubisky, 6 for 8, 60 yards and a touchdown. I believe his quarterback rating was 134-something. Couldn't reach the full max because he did not have enough plays, but it was pretty good.
Let me clear everything up for you. I'll give you the breakdown here because I feel like I'm the only one who probably watched the late-night game on a Saturday night here for our Chicago Bears. Mike Glennon still looked like garbage, in my opinion. Giving up a red zone pick is absolutely unforgivable. Looked exactly like Jay Cutler. I was laughing hysterically. Tariq Cohen looked fantastic. Had multiple plays where he was shedding tackles against Arizona's number one D, the Big Dogs. He looked great. But watching the handoff transition between Mike Glennon, who's, 6'5", and Tariq Cohen, who's like 5'6", every time Glennon handed him the ball, it looked like he was going to fall over. It was just awful. Cohen was definitely the bright spot. I will say as well, Benny Cunningham seemed to make a lot of plays as well. And Mitchell Trubisky, not as crazy exciting week as he had in week one of the preseason, but again, enough to put pressure on the Bears. I hope they sit him. Just sit him. Don't rush it. He is what he is. He still needs a lot of work. Thompson's 109-yard kickoff or field goal miss returned for a touchdown to end the second half was awesome as well. So, is what it is. Cardinals, David Johnson looked like shit, to be perfectly honest. He looked like garbage. Bears defense is good. It's not great. They made David Johnson look like a little bitch.
All right, let's go on to the Rams and the Raiders, and pretty much I just want to talk about Jared Goff. He went 16 for 20, 160 yards and a touchdown. He looked a lot better. Todd Gurley, 8 rushes, 38 yards, a touchdown. Not great, but looked pretty decent. And then Cooper Kupp had 6 catches, 70 yards and a touchdown. Not much going on the Raiders' side. We did see Derek Carr out there. We saw Cook out there. And not much on the rushing side of the ball for the Raiders.
Amari Cooper had a nice reception. It was over 3 guys. Very nice seeing him and Carr get on the same page again. But that Rams offense, you got to be happy with how they're looking. I don't think they're going to be breaking records this year, but it's a step in the right direction, especially with all the talent that they have.
I don't want to skip over the Saints and the Chargers and the Kamara. Denver Broncos and all that. Kamara, huge rush, 50 yards. He's looking really, really good. Broke a tackle, had a juke move on somebody, looked really good. And that's I don't really want to rush over that, but I want to get to the Giants and the Browns before we take off for the night. Biggest thing take away from here, OBJ.
The dirtiest clean hit I've ever seen.
It's
football. I agree completely. DBs don't have much else of a choice because they get penalized for the head. But that is it's open field, and instead of just going to tackle him, he went helmet and shoulder to the knee. That's just a fact. Yep. It's not dirty, but it's dirty. I don't like it because it's my player, but to be fair, we talked about it prior. I don't care what wide receiver it is. I wouldn't have liked it.
Clean hit, yeah.
Clean hit, that's dirty.
Exactly. It could have been any wide receiver. It could have been the seventh wide receiver on a team, and it's still a dirty looking hit, but it is a very legal hit. No flag, no anything like that, as there shouldn't have been. But it was a dirty looking hit. Thoughts on Wayne Gallman, just because I have to ask you guys.
He had some fumbles, didn't he? He had some fumbling issues, I believe.
Did he? He looked pretty good rushing the ball.
No, he looked decent running. I know Tom's,
he did lose one fumble.
Yeah, I know Tom's higher on him than I was, but I know he had some ball handling issues.
And then
I think he's better than Paul Perkins.
I saw Paul Perkins run the ball once, and he looked just like an idiot lost, and he just was wrapping up the ball and just didn't know. I don't know. I just don't believe in Paul Perkins. He just doesn't look good running the ball to me.
Josh, I will guarantee you that Odell Beckham Jr. will be playing week one, regardless of the reports that you're saying. All those reports are just saying that there's still a chance that he misses week one. All of the MRIs, everything have came back clean. It's just more of a mind game at this point. He will play week one. He will be successful week
does
one.
Does that push him back with his draft for fantasy league?
I'm sure. Absolutely. I mean, right now he was probably after. So Zeke obviously got a big bump out. So right now, fantasy-wise, you went David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, and then question mark? I mean, before
Antonio Brown,
and then he was like the fourth guy out there. He probably gets pushed back fifth, sixth, maybe.
Yeah.
He might have Julio Jones in front of him because he's been healthy.
Well, luckily for everybody, we'll be talking more about fantasy next week because it is going to be fantasy the whole show, up and down, everything fantasy, getting ready for your fantasy
draft.
Send
your questions.
Yeah, email us your questions if you guys can and you want. PonyKickSports@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter @PonyKickSports, @PonyKickTim, @PonyKickTom. We will answer them on the show. We will answer them before that. We'll do all that stuff. So before we get off, Tom or Tim, anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Tom?
Nothing.
All right, guys, that's all we have for you. Until next time.
Peace!